Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those who come to God must believe, first of all, that He is. In other words, that He is God and that He is there and that He is everything He says about Himself. And then He goes on to say, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The thing is that God delights Himself or pleasures Himself or boasts of being a rewarder of those who seek Him. In other words, there is nothing. He does not expect you to seek Him in vain. That's why He says in Isaiah 45 verse 19 that I am the Lord. I have not told you to seek me in vain. In other words, there is a reward attached to seeking me. And you see, for the most part, because I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth, I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Now, in other words, there is no, He does not expect you to seek Him in vain. There is nothing in vain as far as He's concerned, because He delights Himself in rewarding people who seek Him. And you see, the religious mindset that we once had was that He's going to reward you in heaven, which of course is true, but He's just as interested in rewarding you right here on earth. Because here on earth is where your reward is going to make sense to other people. Praise the Lord. Actually, in some places, Jesus said so many times that He will reward you openly. That everything you do in secret between you and Him, He rewards you openly. The reward is not a secret thing. It's there in open for everybody to see. Now imagine a God who delights Himself in saying that He prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. Why does He want your enemies to be there? Because He knows the reward is sweeter when their enemies see you eating. Now you think He doesn't have it. It's the truth. You know, I remember when we were in school. Now this story, when we were in school, boarding school, you know, there are things which were unusual. For instance, somebody has milk, you know, that powdered milk, and somebody makes his coffee with the milk. Now, when you made your coffee with the milk, you would want to come and drink it in the midst of people who are hungry. That would give you more, you know, satisfaction. Now, that's the truth. And so I would see people who are come with their cup, and they come. They find you standing there, seated and jazzing. Then the guy comes with his milk and sometimes with the bread. And he wants to eat it in the middle of you. And for you, don't have, and you're hungry. Now, remember, there's some guy, and of course, nobody would say, you know, things which you know, but you don't say. So nobody would say that people want to come and eat here so that we see them. Now, one day, some guy came where we usually sit, and there was nobody. There was no one. So he was there drinking his tea with milk in silence, with nobody to witness his miracle. Then some other guy came. You know, some people are there to say things which are not supposed to be said. So some other guy came and said, "Tibambia mataka kusazili ravantu tevadiyo." Now, imagine something implied like that, because you're drinking it. Gakusazegatia, you're drinking it. But you see, you want to drink it in the midst of what? Of people who don't have it. That's what makes it unique. Praise the Lord. Now that's, by the way, a human. Now, God says, I'll reward you in the midst of your enemies. Because for the most part, your enemies are those who scorned at you and what when you chose to take a certain path. Now I'm telling you this because I'll tell you why I'm telling you this. Now, so He delights Himself in being a rewarder. And He says, I'll reward you openly. Openly, where you do something and He sees in silence. And somewhere along the way, down the path, he's going to reward you for that thing. And when he rewards you, it will be a clear testimony to other people. Now in Matthew chapter 6, he talks a lot about that. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Because he knows all these things are done when you want a reward. Now the question is, do you believe in God's reward system or do you believe in the world's reward system? So if you're the kind of people, the kind of person, and I see even sometimes even preachers, who every time they will give food, they will go and show pictures. Now I saw that because, you know, you've seen those TV, even preachers. When they give children food, they are going to take pictures of them with mucus and drinking water, and so that they feel good in themselves that we are very wonderful bazungu, we are helping poor Africans. God says, you have your reward. There is no more reward from me. You have it. That's what you wanted. Now, then I saw another of these other preachers, the sons of Kenneth Hagin, called The Word of Faith. They said, we give more than all those people, but we never talk about it. Now, those ones have chosen that they want the reward from God. Okay, and then they say, and I had one, because you see, he said that when you give somebody, people want to be given and they retain their dignity. You don't give in a way that you take away somebody's dignity. You give quietly so that nobody knows you gave. So that person can go. If he wants to talk about it, let him talk about it. But otherwise, it's not for you to talk about it. Then God sees quietly. And now when he rewards you openly. Now he's the master, by the way, let me tell you, God is the master of rewarding openly. Like right in the middle there, like when you're drinking milk and people are what? Are seeing you, who don't have it. It's the master of rewarding of it. So that your charitable deed done, see, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you how? Openly. Will reward you openly. Now, the point here I'm making is not so much what Jesus said here. The point I'm making is that God rewards openly. And the point I'm making is he sent me today on this Holy Communion day to tell you that he's coming with rewards to reward you openly. That's what the Spirit of the Lord told me. Amen? Now, so he talks even about other things then, you know, because he says there's a reward system he's talking about here. Elsewhere he says, if somebody does something that is expected on them, when you pray, go in your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, can you imagine? God does not even expect you to pray for nothing. Even prayer, he says there is a reward attached to it. Because he knows the world that we live in, everything is based on reward. Everything. And don't think that there's anything wrong with things being based on reward. Everything is based on reward. You do this, you expect a reward. You do this, you expect a reward. Now, even from the Father in heaven, he knows you expect a reward. And he says, do your things in a way that you actually get a reward. Because there's a reward from him. Praise the Lord. Remember, when you fast, do not be like hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You know, Pharisees used to do this. And the other people who do it. You know, here. Tuli muchisibo. Then they come and tuli muchisibo. And I remember I used to see that. You know, like, anyway, maybe their God is different. But ours, you go and start announcing, chisibo chaze. Why we chie? Tuli muchisibo. Tuli muchisibo. Like you are, that's it. That's where it's going to end. There's nothing left for you. As far as God is concerned, you've got your word because you want to be seen. I remember when we would go to have lunch in some place where I used to work. Those guys, they see you going for lunch. They don't just stay in office and do their things because they are fasting. They see you going for lunch. You shut up and stay in your chisibo. For us, we are not in chisibo. Let us go and what? And eat food. But you see, it's not that we don't fast. But when we fast, it's not like We're not there to, you know, make a big... Because otherwise, as far as the Lord, you have your reward. Because of course, there is a reward in people knowing that you're what? You know? People see you and say, eh, man, that guy. Then you have your reward. But now he says, but you see my point here? It's not so much that. My point here is that they have their reward. Verse 17, it says that, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, look good. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret, will reward you how? Openly. Will reward you how? Now we are entering a time of open reward. This is the second half of the year, by the way. Now, open reward. Now, everything you do for God or with God in mind, everything has a reward. Every decision you make, you could have taken this direction, but you decide to take this direction because you have God in your mind. All those things have a reward, and they have a reward system. And there is a way that people can actually, for instance, it says, I think mostly in Luke 6, where he says that if you love your head, if you love your friends, what reward is there for you? Everybody does that. But if you love your enemies, now he says, there your reward is great. Because now you're behaving like God, because God makes the sun and the rain shine on those who like him and those who don't like him. Okay? In other words, if you look after your child, what reward is there in that? But if you look after your stepchild as though she was your child, you have a reward. A big reward, because God knows. He's looking at how you're treating that person. And he says, eh, that's your stepchild, but you actually treated her like your child. And I'm telling you, there is always a reward. It might not come to you. It might come to your children. And you find your children are blessed because God says you treated somebody else's child properly. Now, you see, people don't realize that there is a reward system which is set by God. And if you actually learn how to walk in it properly, you can live a life of miracle after miracle after miracle. Something happens when you need it to happen. When you're in a tight corner, always there is something there. Because you chose to live your life. So he goes on saying, if you do this, this is what is expected of you. I mean, yeah, what reward is there? But then, if you do what's not expected of you, if you love your enemies, if you pray for those who spitefully use you, as he says, if you do all those things which go against the nature of man, then he says your reward is there, and there is a reward. And by the way, let me tell you, there is a reward system. They are almost marks. They are almost credit. Actually, it says, what credit is there to you? Credit, he uses the word credit. So you can actually use it as even credit, either in a bank or even on your phone. So that you do something and your credit increases. Your credit increases. And I'll tell you, just like it was with Cornelius, it gets to a point where you have too much credit, a miracle has to happen. Whatever miracle you want is going to happen. When you want it, what you want. Because there is a lot of credit, and God has to settle accounts. Praise the Lord. You understand that language. Now with Cornelius, here he says, he doesn't expect anything. He just prays. He says, you pray and gave a lot of, you know, help to the poor, gave a lot of alms and what. And you cause a discussion somewhere in heaven. This man, Cornelius, he is so generous. He's so prayerful. What can we do for him? It seems he doesn't want a financial miracle. He's already very rich. But he's going to become the first Gentile to receive Christ. Amen? And to know Cornelius had so much credit, God sent Peter, who was the head of the church at the time, specifically to go to him with a lot of katemba where Peter sees this. Now, he could have sent perhaps Paul, who already knew that Gentiles get born again. But he sent Peter, who thought salvation was strictly for Jews. Then he first shows him unclean animals, eat. He says, I don't eat. Then he says, what God has sanctified, you shall not call unclean. And all that is for one man. Then Peter goes, then he's in a trance, then what? I looked at the whole katemba which God did just for Cornelius. I said, he must have done something so powerful that his credit was so big in heaven that God had to pull off Amen. Where, like, the man who believes salvation is strictly for Jews, God goes and shows him that, no, 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 this is going to be the first Gentile to receive the Lord. And then even receive the Spirit. Now, and so many others. And by the way, let me tell you, this credit system that we talk about, the world runs on it. Okay? The world runs on it. Actually, almost everything you see in the scripture, almost everything is based on that credit system. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. You see, that's what it says. Now, that whole thing is based on somebody making a decision. And there's one Old Testament, whatever, although this is not actually the purpose of, this is not the message I'm giving, but there's one Old Testament story of the Shunammite woman who the prophet Elisha used to pass by her house every day. So she just tells her husband, let us build for him an upper room. And you know the story. So they build an upper room and they put for him a bed and a table. Life was so basic those days. He didn't need a flat screen. Praise the Lord. But if it was now, you'd have to put what? Flat screen with DSTV. So that he can watch TV. But anyway, they put up for him what? My house and a table. Now, when he's there, things happen. And you know the story. Elisha feels himself, what can I do for this woman? So he gives her a child. Then the child dies. Then Elisha brings the child back to life. But see, that's not, it's just the beginning of everything. But the one which really showed that credit is credit is when Elisha had died. Elisha asked that woman, that what can I do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king on your behalf? The woman said, no, I don't want anything. I'm okay. I have my husband. I have my family. I have my home. I don't need anything. I just did this for you because you're a man of God. Then he says, hey, okay, that's it. Then the scripture, now you see the Bible does not tell these stories for nothing. There was a famine that time in Samaria. And the woman left her land and went 7 years somewhere. And left her land. And people came and took over her land when she was away. Now when the famine ended, she came back. And now she wanted to go and reclaim her land. But somebody had taken it. So she went to the king to reclaim the land. I'm sure in her mind she was thinking, I wish Elisha was still alive. He asked me whether he should talk to the king for me. And I said no. Now I would need him to talk to the king for me. But you see, Elisha doesn't have to be alive. Your credit is already there. So she already had credit there for that ring. So she goes to talk to the king that he restores her land to her. You see these stories in the Bible, they don't just... The Bible actually puts it there to show that everything happens for a reason. There is no happenstance in the Bible. So she goes and now she's going to see the king. And there's a line of people who are waiting to see the king, each one with his own petition. I want this, I want that, I want the other. Then God arranges some other katemba just for her. Because when she was about to come to see the king called the man who was a servant of Elisha and tells the man, Gehazi, tell me some of the miracles that Elisha did. Then she starts telling the man, telling the king, he did this, he did that. He did that. Then she tells the king, there's even a child whom he raised from the dead. Then the king is there mesmerized. Are you sure he raised the child from the dead? Now at that very moment, the woman comes with her child. Then Gehazi says, tells the king, here is the woman and here is the child. Now you see, God just played some, coincidence. Then as soon as the king tells the woman, tell me, is it true? That yes, my child died. I didn't have a child. He gave me a child. Then the king says, okay, in other news, what did you come here for? I came here to have my land. Then the scripture says he gave officers to go and make sure her land is given. Not only her land is given to her, but all the produce which had been gotten from her land when she was away should also be given to her. Now, that cannot happen unless God has done somewhat. You see, because your credit is there. So even if Elisha had already passed on at the time, she goes and God does. Now, my point is this. There is a reward system of God. And so many people here are due a lot of reward. This is the word of the Lord. And now, The scripture says in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. I just want to show you that there is nothing we do not do expecting a reward from God. Everything we are supposed to expect a reward from God. It says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. So, even coming here, there is a reward. Even the work you do, there is a reward. And you see, this is God saying, don't lose the things you have worked for. You see, some people around say, for us, we just work because, you know, we love the Lord. Of course, we work because we love the Lord. But for him, as far as he's concerned, there is a reward for everything. So he says, now do your things in such a way that you do not lose the reward for which you have worked. And it is perfectly okay for you to expect that God is going to reward you, because he's so specific about it. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that must believe that he is a rewarder. He is a what? A rewarder. That's what he does. He's a rewarder. Everything is rewarded. Now, the trouble is, of course, for the most part, the reward might not come in your time frame when you want it to come. Amen? And maybe you might even be on the verge of collapse, of giving up, and so on. And but you see, because maybe you've gone through a lot of tribulation and a lot of suffering. But the scripture says in Romans 8:18 that Paul says he's convinced that I consider that the sufferings of this present time are nothing to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Don't think of heaven. Although that's also true. But there is a glory which is going to be revealed in you here. Amen? There is a glory which is going to be revealed in you here. We've been in times where you are on the edge and things don't seem to be adding up, and you know you're this. But in the midst of that, you say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God that things will be better. And he sees in heaven, and there is a reward. He prepares his reward, and it is there. And the time comes when, and sometimes when the reward comes, you've even forgotten. You just see one miracle happening, another one happening, another one happening. Then you look back and remember the time when you are on the wall. And you said, if God doesn't come through at this time, I am finished. And somehow you were never finished. And you cannot be finished. But then, in that moment, you stand up and profess. And there is a reward. Praise the Lord. There is a reward for it. That's why he says, without faith, it is impossible. That's why he said, because now there, it takes faith, absolute faith in God. I believe in God. I believe he's not going to forsake me. I believe everything concerning me is going to be okay. I believe God. And then there is a reward. Because you are believing him in the midst of trouble, and he sees it. He sees the trouble that you're in. Remember, there's that book I read by Rick Joyner. You know, some of you, okay. That time we used to, it's called The Call. The book is called The Call. And in the book, that guy is in heaven, and he had been there. So he's walking with the Lord Jesus. Then, at some stage, I don't know the run-up to that particular point, but at some stage, Jesus shows him. He says, Jesus just like opens a curtain like this and shows him two young boys who are in a garage somewhere in America, composing songs of praise. And they were there composing songs of praise in God and so on. Then for a split second, Jesus showed him the way Jesus sees. You see, then he saw that the boys had serious problems. They were in financial trouble. Everything seemed to be going badly. And, you know, they were on the wall. And now Jesus showed them, just gave him a glimpse of this is what they are going through. Not telling him, just showing him the way Jesus sees it from his, you know, godly throne. For him, that means, let me give you an advantage point of what these people are going through. So he shows him what they are going through. And then this man is like, man, things are tight for these people. But then he looks and they are there composing songs of praising God, and they are so happy. Amidst all that, then at that moment, that very moment, then Jesus also now shows him turns and shows him God the Father. And now the Father is looking at them. And then he silences all the worship in heaven. He tells everybody to keep quiet. I want to listen to these people. And then there is silence. And then he's listening to these people. And then that guy said he saw tears coming out of God. Tears of joy. Then he asked him that, why has he silenced these people? Then he said that these people are in, they have seen his glory. And when they see his glory, they cannot but worship him because they see his glory. But these ones are on earth, they don't know anything. But out of faith, even if everything seems to be haywire, out of faith, they are worshiping him, and that touches his heart. And then he was shocked. He actually concludes by saying, don't misuse your tough moments. That's the best time to worship God, because that is from faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because you see, when you are worshiping from your heart, and yet everything is not going well, that's where now God is moved. So when I said, I was wondering, imagine him move to the point of silencing everybody in heaven. First, keep quiet. Let me listen to these guys. Now, I'll tell you this. Not that they thought it. They were not thinking about it. But do you think they remained with those problems for long? But that wasn't their thing. For them, their thing is, in spite of everything, we are going to praise God. Amen? That's what is called the sacrifice of praise. Because sacrifice is something you give when you don't feel like giving it. Now, here's my point. Then he said that time that Jesus told him, the joy of the Lord is their strength. Then he told him that these men are their strongest because they have made God happy. Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. Now, imagine, since we are talking about credits, imagine the credit they have and they create in that moment when in a time of hardship, they choose to praise the Lord. Purely out of faith. I mean, if you've had a big deal, something has happened, and you know, you've passed your exam, you've won a trophy, whatever, you praise God. But now if everything is in the reverse gear, now that's faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because God, with God, everything is faith. I believe, in spite of this, things are going to be okay. I believe everything is going to work out because God is with me. I believe he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. I believe, praise the Lord. So now he says, work in such a way that you get your full reward. Because you can get the full reward, or you can get half the reward. Or some people might get no reward. But he says, work in such a way that we may receive a full reward. Now a full reward is when there is nothing taken. Because you know, as just like credit is, let's say credit. You can overdraw your credit and you are in negative. Or you can over deposit and you are in what? Positive. You can be on miracle. Now you've overdrawn your car account, you cannot even make a phone call. Because you're always in the receive. Anyway, my point is, and today I'm going to be very, very brief. I'm even about to finish. I just came to tell you. I'm going to tell you what God. I've already told a bit of it, but I'm going to tell you what you expect. Praise the Lord. Now, we here today have come to receive a reward of God. We've come to receive a reward from what? Everything, every tight situation that you've been in, and I know so many people have been in tough situations. And in the midst of them, you chose to believe God. And now he sent me to tell you your reward. It will come, and it will come, and you might not even notice it immediately, but you look back maybe a month or two or three from now, and you say, wow, something happened around that time. You see, now that's how spiritual things are. They happen, and you don't necessarily see it. You only see the results of it afterwards. Then you see, at some stage, then you start looking back and saying something happened at that stage. And then you even have to start memorizing, I mean, using your memory to recall what it is that happened at that stage when things seem to turn around. I remember a stage when one day I used to have numbers of money lenders in my phone. Then I woke up almost 3-4 months later, I think even more, and I'd never had, there was not a need whatsoever in my life that was not met. So I started remembering, when did that thing happen? That suddenly I don't need anybody to lend me money. At no stage do I need anybody to lend me money. When did it happen? And somewhere along the way, it happened and then you didn't know. Then you wake up one day and you start remembering, when was the last time I borrowed? Even some of you say, when was the last time I got sick? I don't remember. Then you start to think, what was it, 21? I don't remember again. Then even the memory, and somewhere along the way, you entered into something of divine health and you didn't know. You just realized that you don't even fall sick. Not even a flu. Even a flu cannot hit you. And you wake up and say, when was the last time I got sick? And you can't remember. But somewhere along the way, something happened. And there is something that you connected into. Now today you're connecting with reward. When you step away from here, something, you'll see there will be a change. But you might not see it necessarily with your physical eyes yet. As I said, some of these things happen. And then you have to recall, go back to start remembering, when was the last time I borrowed money? Or I ever had a need to borrow money? Some of it's not that you don't borrow, it's that nobody wants to lend you. So even ask, when was the last time I ever had a need to borrow money? And you're trying to recall, let me see, what month are we in? Then you look back and suddenly it's been so many months. And you didn't know you were just living your life. Praise the Lord. Now I'm telling you, that's how things always happen. And you don't realize now. It says, look to yourselves. That is, do not do things which take away credit. Like being mean. There are things, by the way, and people do them and they don't know that they are eating away their credit. Speaking ill of other people. By the way, let me tell you, when you start walking with God, one of the first things if you really have been taught by Him, is He will teach you not to speak ill of anybody. First, a man of God. Even when you know there is something fake about him, you will keep quiet. You keep quiet. The other day I was talking to my son, there is some guy who teaches them in school, some like chaplain or something. And he said the guy has, he's trying to describe the guy because, in brief, you're saying the guy is fake. But he's trying to describe him in a very, very, diplomatic, without criticizing him. Then I say, why don't you just say? He says, God will not allow me to criticize him. Then he will start telling you what his other students say about him. But he will never say something himself. Like, where you see that even him at his young age, you say, God will never allow me to criticize him. Now, those things eat your credit. Saying things which you are not supposed to say. There's a man called Watchman Nee who said, idle words leak power. They leak credit. So he says, every idle word you say, by idle words, I mean, there are words which you ought not to be saying. Where you find people talking, and you also join yourself in there and what? And it's not edifying. And even takes away your mental energy and so on. And other things which people do. Mean things. And it's mostly about the way you treat people, by the way. The way you treat other people. But that's the one number one leaker of credit, is how you treat other people. And it's also the number one giver of credit, how you treat other people. And you can live permanently in positive credit that you will never need a miracle and it does not show up immediately. You are like Cornelius or the other Shunammite woman. Every time you need something, God shows up because there's that credit system. And you know, that's what I say, what credit is now. I will not go into the details, but you know things like jealousy. bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. You are eating your credit. It's as if you're calling some number in Bolivia or somewhere. You know, there was days when they would call, before internet, when they would call, it was how many, what per unit. Now you're eating away. Unforgiveness. You eat your units. Because everything that is contrary to what God is, eats unit. Because God is loving, God is kind, God is forgiving. You see, eh? Now, those are the things which eat people's credit. Now, when you, that's why he says, go back to the other scripture, John. So he says, look to yourselves, that you do not lose those things we have worked for. Because you can work and accumulate credit. You serve God, you do this, you do that. Then you struggle with forgiveness. And you're still bitter with somebody. And you're bitter. And then you become bitter. And then you become judgmental. Then you become what? And you're eating your own credit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there are some people, things which people, Jesus said that if you come to the altar and you remember you have something against anybody, first go and be reconciled to them. That's very, very powerful. Some people, you would be there praying. And Jesus said, if you have anything against anybody, first go and be reconciled to them. And then come. Forgiveness is very, very, because without forgiveness, we have no business with God. So if he forgave us, he expects us to forgive us. You know? You understand? Our fellow, our brethren. That's number one starting point. Now, I'm telling you, I had to take time to stamp out all those good things, backbiting people. If there's any envy, any competitive spirit, you know, people. Some people are very competitive. They want to bring, you know, they will never settle until somebody, and like they're like rally drivers. That's how they live their lives. You know, where they have to over like unnecessary competition, and then there's somebody who. You wish other people well. And then, man, your credit is increasing. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the reward system of God. And it is not about how you treat him. Our relationship with him is based on grace. In other words, we get what we don't deserve. We get what Jesus deserved. Okay? But now this credit system is based on how you treat other people. Your fellow servants, as so to speak. Anyway, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, these are, let's leave this. Let's go back to the other first John. It says, live in such a way. Okay? Look to yourselves. That you do not lose those things you have worked for, but that you may receive the full reward which is due to you. And he says in Colossians chapter 2, something else that cheats reward. He says, beware that, I think 2:18, that nobody takes away your reward. Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in humility. Now he's talking about religion. You know, where you don't understand the grace of God. And you start thinking, you know, there's a lot of rubbish in the church of, you know, people don't understand the grace of God. And that, you know, love your neighbor as you've received love, don't just give love. Now he says, intruding into these things, those things still reward because they take you into some kind of religious ceremony. Praise the Lord. The things which the church thinks are very bad. Oyo, tatambuli ambutukirifu. Now you see the people who are walking in Butukirifu. Eh? You go and get those people who claim to be walking in Butukirifu. They have bad hearts. They are, man, because they have never received the grace of God. They are bitter. They are what? And some of them are men of God. And you have, I remember you, they project their anger on congregations. Then they'll go and tell congregations, God has given you last chance. Where in the Bible did you see God giving anybody last chance? There is no last chance with God. The one you have is the last chance until the next last one. Then another last, then another last. You see, his mercies are new every morning. That's what he says. Now you have to believe God for what he says. He has described himself. He says his mercies are new when? Every morning. There is no last chance with God. Tomorrow there will be another one. And then the other day, then the other day, then the other day. That's who he is. But you see, when God, somebody is angry, let me tell you, I had a... If you know what the grace of God can do to people, I had a sister who was one of the first people in our family to get born again. Now she's with the Lord. She had this idea of God where he's such a taskmaster. And because of that, she was always angry, she was such a difficult person to be with. Very, very difficult person to be with. And unfortunately, I used to stay with her sometimes because she was much older than me and I needed school, a place to stay. But man, you'd be on Mukenke all the time, staying with her. Then she went and discovered the grace of God. Then she became a totally different person. People will always behave the way they think God behaves towards them. She became a totally different person. Very pleasant, very loving, very forgiving. Completely makeover. The only thing that had changed is she realized God is not there trying to exact holiness from her. You know, holiness. What? Those are the meanest people you'll ever come across. Now, this is what he's talking about. Intruding into things, whatever. Cheating of your reward. So you spend all your life trying to cleanse yourself as if Jesus did not do a good enough job. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have been from places, because some of you are new, if you've been in places where the blood of Jesus was not enough to cleanse you, here the blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse you. Amen? You will never do anything better than it. Even if you fasted dry until you die, you never do anything that is even like this. Even if you gave your life on the cross, your life is sinner, your sinner life, it's useless. Your blood is useless because you're sinner. You have to know that here the blood of Jesus sorted that. You have to know God has nothing against you. Praise the Lord. God does not have any, and you see, that's what keeps people even running away. God does not have anything against you, he has nothing. Everything he had against you was sorted by Jesus. So now God is okay with you. He's just saying, come, come, I love you. I want to reward you. Come and let us walk together. I want to reward you. That's why I sent you here today. To do what? To reward you. There is nothing. He's not angry with you over what you did. He's not. There is no last chance. There will never be a last chance. Because his mercies are new every morning. That's what he says about himself. Praise the Lord. And Colossians 3:23, it says that, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance. Now when you're serving God, whatever you do it from your heart as to God, because God will reward you. This is what he's saying. Men will not always reward you. Men will actually be mean. They will cheat you. But God will always reward you. Always. Always. Everything you do, he says, do it as to the Lord. Because from him you will get a reward at some stage. It will come in form of a promotion, in form of favor, in form of something you need, in form of, somebody for, letting your children sit for exams without school fees. All those things, by the way, they might seem like, but that is favor. Something working in your favor. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So whatever you do, you're serving Christ and you're getting a reward. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? So now you're qualified for your reward. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 40 verse 10. Isaiah 40:10. It says, Now this is the word of the Lord to you. Behold, the Lord God shall come, or has come, with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He has come here today, and his reward is with him. Praise the Lord. I want you to believe that. The Lord has come here for you. And you know, so many times he says in the scripture that he has come with his reward. He doesn't come alone. He comes with a reward. Amen? He says, his reward is with him and his work before him. He says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Read verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Praise the Lord. His reward is what? To come and take care of you. Go to 62. Isaiah 62. Verse 11. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Almost the same words. Amen? His reward is where? So he does not come alone. He's coming with the reward for you because you need it. Because you've gone through trial. Let me tell you, Paul says that the tribulation of this day is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Let me tell you that every one of you has been through moments when there is tribulation. Like something is not working out. Like you seem to be in a tough place. And you seem to be squeezed in all over. And there is no way you can get something big. Something promised land. Like, unless you've gone through some sort of desert. Amen? So you just look out for the time of your reward. And say, I'm going through this, but my reward is coming ahead there. And when it comes, it will be with glory. Let me tell you, and it is thorough. Because people take shortcuts because they decide there are better ways to get these things. I remember I was listening to that lady, Joyce Meyer, and she said so many celebrities in America come to her. She said that if I mentioned their names, you'd know all of them. And they come to her and say that, how is it that you actually have a life where she's a celebrity in her own right? Okay? But on top of that, she says, you have a good marriage, you're raising children, grandchildren, like God has given you the joy of family, the joy, like he gives you the full package. Because you see, the devil will say, if you want to be a celebrity, you go. Then the next thing you're a drug addict like Justin Bieber. The next thing it's not you, at least your children, like you destroy your life. You say this is what you want, okay? But in exchange for it, he's going to destroy your life. And people go there, and there are so many people who are tempted to go there, and they go there, and their lives are destroyed because they decided they wanted something more than God. Now, for you, there is something you want, but you say, no, I want God more. I'm not going to be tempted to step away from the path of God. Then he says, okay, I'll reward you. And now when he gives it to you, what does a woman like that want? She wants to have a good husband. She has. She wants to have a good family. She has. She's preaching the gospel. She's a celebrity. She's what? And then they come and tell her, like, how do you do it? Because for us, we have this, but we've lost everything. We've lost all our children. We have nothing. Our children are all drug addicts. And then she says, because I pursued the path of God. He does not give you one and take away the rest. He gives you the full package. Your children are okay. You are okay. You know you have a family. In her case, grandchildren are okay. Amen? And like you are, like your life is complete. Your husband is there. You are in love in your 70s. Full package. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, only God can give you that. You try to get it anywhere else, in the world or anywhere else, it will be distorted. Totally distorted. completely distorted. And the world will wait for you, for God to promise you something. Then the world comes and promises you, we can get you that very thing. And we shall get it to you faster. And then some people are tempted to go for it because it comes faster. But they don't know they have given up their lives. They have given up a big chunk of their land for their lives for something very small. Praise the Lord. Now, that's when you see somebody like her pursuing her work of God, her calling, and she's complete. Then you know that she pursued the path of God. And the reward is there. Let me tell you, there are people are tempted because they don't want to be patient. And they don't want to trust God. That I want this and it's not coming, but I'm going to trust God that is going to come. And he's coming. Now he says, the Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the earth, to the world, said to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. His reward is there, and we are here, and we are receiving it. Go to Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I want you to see that he's saying it so many times because he delights himself in having his reward. I'm not just coming. I'm coming with my reward. Because he knows that's what we all want. Now, if you're here and there is something you're engaged in and you're new in this place, we believe in a God of solutions. You see that some people believe there is a God in heaven and there is what? There is some guy who... I don't know if I should say this story. some fake guy. Let me cheat it. It's not going to edify. Anyway, but the point is that some people don't believe in. You see, when you believe in religion, you believe it is some kind of thing for the life hereafter, and it has no impact. It has no bearing here. Let me tell you, everything that we intend to have and that we believe we are going to have, we are going to have it with God. Amen? Some of us have very big dreams, you know about them. We are going to have them in God. If we do not have them in God, we will not have them. Praise the Lord. We can never be tempted to look to the right or to the left. Never. Never let your ambition be bigger than your love for God. Otherwise, you are in trouble. Your desire becomes bigger than your love for God. Because the scripture says, let no one who is tempted say that he is tempted of God. But everyone's desire tempts them. You desire something, but it has got to be something that you desire within God. Amen? Now, that same woman who I told you about, I used to listen to her a lot and to her story. She said God called her and told her she's going to be having these big Bible studies across the country and wherever, like she's having right now. So he showed her the picture of what she's going to be. And, it was a grand picture. Then she starts somewhere. Then she starts with a small Bible study. She said in her living room where she would have a few people and they come and they study the Bible. So she does that for a number of years. And God can wait and wait and wait for you to. He first waits to see how much do you want that thing? Do you want it more than? Then she said one day, the Lord told her that, what if this small Bible study here is all you're ever going to do? And you're not going to anywhere. What if this is what I've called you to do? Then she said that, if this is what you want me to do, this small Bible study, I'll gladly do it. Then she said that, if there is something you don't want me to have, I also don't want to have it. I want to have only what you want me to have. Praise the Lord. Then she said, as soon as she said that, it's like she had passed an exam. Immediately, her ministry started expanding so fast. But see, God has to test you. Do you want the other thing or do you want me? He said, me, it's okay. If this is what you have called me to do, I will settle here. It's okay. I'm not in a hurry. I just want to obey what you called me to do. Do you know how powerful that is? And then suddenly, he gives you the, you know. And by the way, let me tell you, everybody has to go through a test similar to that. Where do you want this more than, you know, do you want this? Remember King David, your king. Then Saul comes to kill you because he thinks if he kills you, he's going to be king. I mean, he can pass on his bloodline and so on. He knows God has chosen you, but he comes to kill you. Then God puts you in a position where you can actually kill him. Because the Bible says, David entered the cave. And then Saul came there with his men inside the same cave. And then it says the sleep of the Lord took him over. So Saul slept like a madman. And it was the Lord who was making him sleep. Then David comes. And the people tell David that now this is the moment you should kill you. And you know if you kill this man, you're going to become what? Probably going to become the next king. But David says, no. That's not how it is. I cannot slay the anointed of the Lord. He will die some other way. I'm not going to be the one to kill him. Then you've passed an exam. You've shown that you do not love. Your ambition is not bigger than your love for God. It says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. But that desire, there is a desire. Everybody who goes somewhere, they desire something they desire so badly. Then they will tell you. And you will always say, I remember one day I was in Hoima and some guys came and told me, you know, there's this place we want to take you to. You know these people call themselves Vachuezi and what? You know the original Vachuezi were in Bunyoro, you know that? And these guys, and even these ones here who say they are ruling by Vachuezi, they go there. There's some hill where even this old man goes and spends there 3 days picking Vachuezi goods. Now, the custodians of the place. So they meet me somewhere. I'd taken my children to swim. So they come and tell me, you know, we can take you there. Everybody. They told me even some guy in Kenya, from Kenya, came from Kenya to come for those things. That, you know, if you want to, whatever, come, we take you. Now, of course, it was very funny. It was just laughable. But my point is that some people would have been tempted by it. So for me, I just sat down and said, tell me about it. Then the guy starts telling me, even so and so, we came and we took him. And he became this. Even so and so came, we took him, he became this, and I'm just laughing. I said, now, praise the Lord, my reward is with God. Like you cannot tempt me with that. You can, even if it is not to happen, let it not happen. Am I not here now? Do I lack what to eat? Do I look to you like I'm starving? So even if it does not happen, chidekeyo, I will never let my ambition be bigger than my love for God. Praise the Lord. You cannot tempt me with that. There is no desire that can come and strip me away from the love of God. None whatsoever. And by the way, let me tell you, it is so. You know what happened with Saul? Saul, a man who knew God, who was prophesying at some stage. But at some stage, he was confused and he ended up going to a witch, to a medium. Praise the Lord. There is not going to be a medium. And I am going to rule by the grace of God and by the power of God. If my God is God, you people, like there is no wavering. There is no wavering. His God is God. How do you take me to that crap? Then they start telling you, take off your clothes and come naked. Like there's a lot of. And you see, let me tell you, we believe in God. Amen? And our faith is unshakable in God. That is why our reward is here today. And now, when you take your Holy Communion today, you go home feeling rewarded. Because he has come with his... He says, I am coming. Behold, I am coming. My reward where? His reward is with him. And here, there is nothing that you can get from those places that you cannot get from here. I'm telling you, there is nothing. Nothing. Now, some of you have been having things attacking you at night where, you know, you dream when, you know, somebody is having sex with you at night and what. It's going to end here today. It's not going to happen again. Others, not even that. It is just something pulling you towards the village. There is a force at night. You feel it at night when you're sleeping. And you dream when you're in the village. And it's like almost calling you back to the village. And it has caused like a lot of kusirana in your life. Okay? Now it's going to end here today. Amen? It's going to end here. Let me tell you, there is nothing of, if you actually just believe God here today, there is nothing of that rubbish that can stand what is here. Because the Lord has come here with his reward. And everyone who comes to him is rewarded. Praise the Lord. So now, do not all those things of, you know, religious people. Where they, you know, in the during the day, I used to see that when we were growing up. You know a witch, you see a real witch. You know her, the whole village knows she's a witch. But you find her on what? On Sunday. She's the rosary. Going to church. Then you greet her. Then you say, "Hey, what I don't kick." And you know she's a witch. Now you see, like that's what religion did to people. Where you worship a God who is not a God of solutions. Our God is a God of solutions. Amen. If it is business, you'll get your answers here. Yeah. Amen? If it is spiritual attacks, you'll get your answers here. You just come and I pray for, even when we are here having to come, if you're seeing those things, come and I pray for you, they will not happen again. Praise the Lord. There is the power of God here to sort all that rubbish, all that kusiranya thing, some people in the village who are trying to pull you back and what. We've been through all of that. We break all of them here, praise the Lord. You know, there's a lady who came to me and she told me that she used to struggle with English, but she used to come to Watchman. So I used to wonder, what does this woman come here to do when she doesn't understand the language? And I didn't mean that in any way, but just that I would know I'm not communicating to her. So you're preaching and she's looking at you and you know she's not. Then she told me that she came one day to see me and she used to have those things of at night of all sorts of things, spiritual things coming and having sex with her and what. And okay, all manner of things. Then she told me she was even in the middle of her story. And I told her, okay, it's not going to happen again. Now, because we were one, I was speaking to her in Uganda. She said, "Don't mind me, David. I said, "Te begin a put down." Then she said, "Musumba tu sabeko." I said, "Tu sabirechi. Ebyo te begin a put down." So she went and waited. 1 month, 2 months, nothing. So Bambi, she came here and she didn't understand English. Because she had met a solution, something which was bothering her. So now some of you, it is not going to happen again. Amen. And I did not pray. I just said it's not going to happen again. And it did not happen again. Praise the Lord. I remember some other girl. She was even a Muslim, and she was my friend. She came to me. Somebody had kologed her husband, and the husband had just run mad and left her in the house and gone. But he would be weird. He calls her, says, I miss you. But as if he's not coming. She says, "Why you miss me? Why don't you come?" Where you see the man was, they had locked his hands. Somebody had locked his hands. So I told her, so she tells me the story. I said, "Should I break that thing?" And he comes back to you. She said, Then I said, but I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. She said, I will recall you. So she lost her marriage. But if she had just given me the permission, because I can't force it on somebody. If she had just given me the permission, I would just say, okay, I release him. And he would come back. Because you could see the man was bewitched. Where his heart and soul were with his wife, but he's somewhere else with some man. Now there are all sorts of such things. By the way, let me tell you, without spiritual power, those wicked people can take advantage of you. Now, like girls, somebody told me, her friend, university, very beautiful, very intelligent. All they need is a point of contact if you have no spiritual power. So the guy comes and tells you, hey, Mora, what a sentence in what? Now for him, he has that a point of contact. Now if you have no spiritual power, you don't have to have it yourself. You can have it by having somebody what? The woman went and became his fourth wife. And she would be complaining every day, but she can't leave. All her future destroyed. Destroyed. So I told this person, told me, you tell her to come to me. But I think she never got around to telling her or something like that. But until somebody opens you in the spirit, you cannot. So never accept a life without spiritual power. You'll become a slave of stupid people. But we are here to rescue you from that rubbish. I mean, one time, there's some place I was to stay there, whatever. And there was a man who was a cripple. Okay, a real cripple. You know, like somebody who really, scrolls on the ground and what. But he was such a witch. He had four very beautiful women, wives. And everyone knew he was controlling them by witchcraft. And then I would pass there sometimes, and you say, man, eh? And the guy is using witchcraft to control them. But you also the laws of the spirit. You can, unless somebody invades you, you cannot invade him. So I would just feel sorry for the women. And the people all around knew, they just fight among each other. Now, here, so many of you are here for the first time. Here we don't accept such rubbish. Nobody can kuroga you. Eh? Nobody can what? And make yourself. Nobody. Like, nobody. Those people are powerless. Powerless. The God we believe in, just a word. Amen? Just a word. Just one word. One word. So, now today, as we take Holy Communion, everything, every bondage breaks here today. Every bondage breaks here today. Every attack of the devil at night, they come what, which you're dreaming weird things. And there's even somebody who is having dreams of, like what? Men, you're a man. Men chasing you. To sodomize you. It's breaking here today. Today, praise the Lord. Somebody say today. And today, he has come with his reward with him. He has come with his reward here with him. Behold, his reward is with him. Surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him. Praise the Lord. Does everybody have their bread? Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine. We sanctify it for the purpose of Holy Communion. And we believe that as we partake of it, we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. Because on the night in which you were betrayed, the scripture says, you took your bread and broke it and gave it to your disciples. And you said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, today, as we break of this bread, we believe that every sickness in our midst is rooted out in the name of Jesus. We believe that every body weakness is reversed because your body was broken so that ours might be whole. And we believe that as we partake of this bread, we partake of your body, and just as your body was broken that ours may be whole, we proclaim that our bodies are whole. Every part of our body is whole and healthy, and we receive of the divine health that you purchased for us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can eat your bread. In like manner, you took the cup of your blood and a cup of the wine and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for all men for the remission of sins. And this is the blood of the new covenant, the blood that ratifies the new covenant under which we live." And even as we partake of this blood, every demonic presence is broken. Everything that is not of God in our lives is broken. Everything flees that is from the evil one. And everything that was purchased by this blood, deliverance, redemption, health, provision, wealth, everything that your blood purchased for us, we partake of it this day as we partake of this blood. And we said we do this in remembrance of you. And Lord Jesus, we remember your sacrifice, how your blood was shed for us. Shed for us that we might be perpetually righteous before God. That every evil, every blood of evil that has been shed, that seeks to have a claim on your life, is broken by this blood of Jesus. Because there is no blood like the blood of the Lamb that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, all demonic attacks, all curses, all attempts of the enemy to bring retrogression in your life, everything is broken here this day. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, now you can partake of the blood. Just lift up your hands and say, "Lord Jesus, we receive of your reward. You have promised that you come and your reward is with you. And we are here today to receive it. To receive our reward, because you are the God who rewards those who seek you. Now we thank you because that reward shows up in our finances, shown up in every part of our bodies, shows up in our homes, shows up in every aspect of our lives, in our workplaces, every aspect of our lives. Your reward comes. Promotions come to us in the name of Jesus. Multiplications, it comes to us in the form of business excellence in the name of Jesus. It comes to us in the form of openings, business openings, new openings in Jesus' name. New ideas that your spirit whispers to us that take us to the next level. We thank you, Father, because that reward comes with you. You come with it, and now you leave it here with us, and we receive of it. We receive that reward in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, next Friday, come with somebody. Please go and evangelize. Because there are people who need the solutions that the Lord has given us. So go and evangelize. Come with somebody if you can. Number one. Number two, we have tea here and something to eat. So please don't go without tasting our tea. Okay? Our tea is some kind of communion, of breaking of bread also. So after you leave, even if you can go and afford the cappuccino somewhere, first come and take our tea. Then afterwards you can go and what? Take cappuccino. This, because this is communal. This is, so everybody has to come and partake of it. So it is here today. Those who can't come here for evangelism, tomorrow. And I'll get your offering. Let me pray for it and then I go. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person who today has connected. And we thank you, Father, for your divine reward in the name of Jesus. And I thank you because it manifests in the life of each and every person in Jesus' name. And I thank you because we see multiplications in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.